Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Nelson Auburn! Chicago seemed tired last night. They had cigarettes where they're supposed to be ice. Hey, William Butler Yeats! Seem wired last night.
Hey, what's happening? It's me. I say that with the audacity of someone who expects you to know exactly who the fuck he is, and yet, I don't think I'm fucking wrong. I think every single person out there right now knows exactly who the fuck they're listening to, baby. There's a lot of swearing for the first 10 seconds of this show. What? It seems surly. Seems salty. Why so salty? Why so serious? That's when the Joker pulls out all the grenades with the pull button, the pull cord, or whatever the fuck. You think you can just steal from us and get away with it? Yeah. Please watch Dark Knight. Well, you know, we'll talk about that at some point on Last Night at Schmitty's, because again, this is going to be a show. You know, last night was more of a bitch fest, because I was up in the air about some things that had happened at my apartment. With my parking lot. And I mean, I took the Theraflu and I crashed and I slept like fucking 10 and a half hours. And it was, so I started on my right hand side. I woke up and I was still on my right hand side. I woke up and my shoulder was fucked because I just was crushing it into the mattress the whole time. There wasn't a lot of tossing and turning. There was no Bobby Darin. There was no splish splash taking a bath. It was tossing and turning Bobby Darin? Or was that the Big Bopper? Tossing and turning all night. I kick the blankets on the floor. That might be the Big Bopper, but I don't think so. I think it's Bobby Darin, because Bobby Darin is Splish Splash. Guys, I got to be honest with you. When I envisioned this show, I did not expect so much talk about entertainers from the 1950s. I don't know why they are filling my brain. We had Martin Lewis yesterday, Jackie Gleason. I got Bobby. Dude, it's 2024. And I'm talking about the fucking Big Bopper. What the fuck is going on? I don't know anything about the Big Bopper. I know he sang two songs and then he died in a plane crash. And I will tell you this. I do know this. It was his fault the plane crashed. Because the Big Bopper, large man, found out there was no in-flight meal service and grabbed the wheel hoping to land in Iowa and get some corn. And they certainly landed in a field of corn. But there was no, you know, look, did you get popcorn out of it? Yes, because there was a blazing flame coming from the crashed plane. And you could eat, you know what, you could eat popcorn out of Buddy Holly's skull, you fuck, Big Bopper, if you would have lived. But instead you died and you cost us Buddy Holly writing another 25 songs that all sounded exactly the same. Peggy Sue, pretty. All of his songs are exactly the same. And good for him. There's nothing wrong with that. Because back then, you know, that was leaps and bounds ahead of everything that we'd heard before that. You're getting fucking Henry Mancini and bad fucking violins and shit. And all of a sudden Buddy Holly comes along, dang, let some jangly fucking Nick Lowe bullshit. And everybody's like, yeah, fucking Buddy Holly getting it done. Then he released his second song and they go, yeah, Buddy Holly. Then he released his third song and they're like, buddy, you gotta maybe, I don't know, mix it up a little bit. And then he released his fourth song and they went, I guess this is what we're getting out of Buddy Holly. And then he released his fifth song and they went, put him on a plane with the bopper and let him fucking crash. The bopper takes him down. So I crashed yesterday, not unlike the bopper and Buddy Holly, and woke up with a bum fucking shoulder, and I was like, it was that thing where I was like, I could have stayed in bed even. I was still so fucking drained, even after 10 and a half fucking 11 hours, whatever it was. But I got up, you know why? Because the Phillies were on, and I knew I had to get up and watch the Phillies. But I was gonna drive today. I was like, all right, I'll get up, and I'll go out and drive, and you know. But dudes, I woke up and I had, oh my God, I was so hot, like my face, and I knew something was up. I knew yesterday I was sick. You know, it was one of those deals. And so I told you about it, but you figure it was one of those things, because I took Theraflu and I crashed. And I'm like, I'll wake up and be tip top tomorrow. And no, I woke up clearly, and I got up and I will tell you this. I turned my heat on last night because I wanted it to be like super warm in my house. Because when I'm sick, I want it to be, I just want to be warm. Here, I'm not going to lie. Here's something that happens when I get sick. This is what I like to do. I go to bed and I just reach down and I grab my fucking junk. I grab my balls and hold on to them and just breathe. it's, I don't know if it's a little kid thing or what, but it's just like, all right, these are fine. I've got these and everything's going to be okay. And it's kind of what I did last night when I just laid there and then, but I woke up today. And so I want it warm, right? So last night it was super warm in my house, but then, when I went to bed, I forgot to turn the heat off. So I woke up today and, my house was fucking, I mean, it was an oven and it was 76 degrees in LA today. Like at night, it's getting down. I think it's like 45, 50. So having a heat on at night is fine, but I usually turn it off before I go to bed. Oh, fuck that. I was so wiped out yesterday. I completely forgot. So I crashed and I woke up this morning into a sauna. That's probably another reason why I slept fucking 11 hours because the house is so fucking hot. I'm under flannel sheets with a fucking blanket on. I just wiped the fuck out, holding my balls, wake up in the morning 11 hours later. Yeah, my balls are still there. Good. Peeled my left hand off of them and went and washed my hands. Got up and then I sat down and I was just sitting there and I was like, I got to take my fucking temperature because I know I'm fucked. And I, sure enough, I have a temperature. My temperature was 100.7 when I took it first. And I was like, God damn it. And I posted it on social media, you know, and I had to cancel the gym, you know, for tomorrow. And then I have some stuff to do on the rest. So I rescheduled it for next week, basically. And then I had done that with Mariano already because I knew I was sick. But then I sent him the picture of the thermometer and I'm like, see, man, I'm not dogging it. I promise. And he's like, LOL, I didn't think you were. But that's what happens in your brain when you think everybody doesn't believe you. You're just like, oh, you know, I promise. I'm not. But why would I lie about this? And he didn't think I was lying. But in my brain, I'm like, please, you know, I don't know if it's part of my upbringing or whatever the fuck. You got to prove everything to everybody. I don't know. So so I posted it on social media and then I made some more Theraflu, the daytime stuff, and I ate that. And here's where I say some mistakes were made. You know, my throat is fucking fried, as you can hear. And I keep saying it to you, but it's really raw, too. I'm coughing. There's a real dry cough associated with this. So not only I have a fever, I have a headache, I have some sinus stuff, but also my throat is super raw from the coughing and everything else. So, but it feels good to drink the hot Theraflu, you know what I mean? And this is weird. Like, I would love to kind of nurse my Theraflu, but it says right on the fucking package, you got to drink it in 15 minutes, which is, does the medicine stop being medicine after 15 minutes? If so, what a cushy job for that medicine. It's just like, it gets activated by the water and it's like, you got 15 to chug me down, buddy, or else you're just drinking lemon water. So I bring it over and I sip it, which is good because it's super hot. I will say that it's super hot and I sip it. And it's really good. It felt great. But I was starving too because I hadn't eaten since yesterday, right? And I'd fucking slept forever. So I couldn't go out. I'm not going out to get anything, but I have in my house, like I have rice. I was like, I'll just eat something boring. So I had bacon and I was going to make bacon and eggs. And then I was like, well, just make rice and then put some bacon and eggs in that, like, and then chop that up. But then I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I don't even want to stand there and cook or whatever the fuck. Even though it takes 2 minutes to fry eggs, but I talked myself out of it. And the bacon I just put in the oven on the fucking sheet pan. But I bailed on it. I was like, fuck you, because I have one of my favorite things is cup of soup. I shouldn't eat it. It's probably not good for you, sodium and noodles, but it's goddamn, it's a banger, and it's done. All it takes is boil water, let it steep, and then you're choking it down. And here's what I do. I make there's the Marichon cup of noodles. You get your beef, you got your chicken, you got your shrimp. And I make that and then I let it steep. And then when I dump it into a bowl, right, with its broth and everything. And here's the thing. I put chili crisp inside of the cup of soup. A little jazz bow, a little jazz it up, right? A little fastball. You can't just get, look, regular cup of soup is a delight. I'm not going to argue with the people at Marichon. They've hit on a winner. It's been on shelves forever. I can't tell them to vary their recipe in any way, shape, or form, but you can always improve things. You can make some broccoli florets. You can chop up some asparagus and saute it. Whatever the fuck you want to do, you can jazz up all of your stuff. But again, I'm sick. I don't want to do that. My favorite thing to do with the Marichon is I put chili crisp in it, a big spoonful. And I should tell you, the chili crisp I'm using is that there's a stuff. There's two that I have. I have the Angry Grandma, which you guys might know about. It's a real bright, citrusy. It's got soybeans in it, crunchy soybeans. It's delicious, but I don't like putting that in my cup of soup. I don't mind it. If it's all I had, I would use it. But what I like, I have a product called Holy Shili, T-S-H-I-L-I. Now, I will tell you this right now. If you've never tried it, Google it. And if you've never, and once you Google it, buy it. That's it. That's your marching orders for the day. When I went to Mex's house last time, I was there, and Kristen likes, you know, kind of spicy stuff. And I was like, "You ever hear Angry Grandma?" And she's like, "No." And I said, "What about Holy Shili?" And I bought them both while I was there. I had Amazon deliver them. And Holy Shili's not Amazon. They do it to their own website. But Amazon has the Angry Grandma. You'll have to Google Holy Shili and go to their website. But dude, and Kristen was just like, "Oh my God, this is really good." And here's the thing, put it on pizza. You can put, some people are like, "I put it on ice cream," and I'm like, "You are a fucking clown. I don't get that at all, but good for you." Maybe it's good. I don't do that, but I know a lot of people do. But I put it on noodles. I put it on rice. I put it on pizza. I put it on pasta. Here's the thing I was doing. This is, and again, probably not the healthiest thing in the fucking world. I would make a package of spaghetti. And then take the spaghetti, and then I would put like 3 fried eggs in the spaghetti along with the chili crisp, and then just kind of, and some Italian sausage that I made. So it's like sausage, noodles, and eggs and fucking chili crisp, and you toss that around. And let me tell you, it's fucking really good. I mean, if you like a pasta carbonara, you're going to like egg yolks and fucking and noodles. Oh my God, what is this show? What am I doing here? Guys, here's the story about noodles. What the fuck? But it's the mistake I made was I made, so I put the chili crisp in, right? It's a big, and I get a big tablespoon, and it's got sesame seeds and crunchy stuff, you know, chili peppers. And I put it, you know, you'd sprinkle it on top of the fucking ramen, then you mix it all up, right? So I did that. I sat down, and first thing I got to do is work on the TheraFlu. While my soup was steeping, I did the TheraFlu, and I drank all that. And then I went and got the soup, and I went and sat down. And I watched the Phillies playing in miserable weather and Bryce Harper hitting 3 home runs, which was fucking amazing. And I'm working on the noodles. And I eat them with a chopstick. I like a chopstick, so I'm eating with the chopsticks. But what you do then is you're getting the noodles and the noodles, but then it's leaving the broth in the bottom of the bowl, correct? Yes. So I'm eating the noodles, and then there's broth in the bottom of the bowl. And then I go, all right, well, I'm going to slurp this up, because that's how you do it. You just tip it forward. If you go to Japan, they'll tell you, you're supposed to slurp this shit up. Nobody eats noodles in a fucking sophisticated fashion. Everybody fucking slurps them up. They make a sucking noise. It goes, and the noodle spins at the end. You get broth in your eyes. It's a whole production, and everybody loves it. That's why Japan exists, for the noodle eating. But as I'm eating the noodles, then at the bottom is like all the broth, right? And I'm like, all right, so this is going to be good. I go to slurp it down, and I tip the bowl up, and I use the chopsticks to kind of pull some noodles in and also slurp the broth. And I get the broth in my mouth, and I swallow it. And you would think I sucked the devil's cock. It was because my throat is so fucking raw. Okay. Now, hot TheraFlu is fine. It's coated. It's lemon. It's whatever, friendly and coated. Kind of not friendly. It's very friendly. It's a friendly taste. It's lemony. It coats your throat. But chili crisp is aggressive. It's got chili peppers and it's hot and it's kind of spicy. And it's not super hot. That's the thing, is it's not. It's really not. But if you've been coughing out your fucking liver all goddamn day and your throat has like fucking tracks on it like a junkie's arm, the second I swallowed this fucking broth and I almost yelped. I was just like, ah! And it burned, because you know what it felt like? I'll tell you this. When I was super fat, I used to get acid reflux, and it was terrible. It was, if I ate anything, you know, with tomatoes, if I ate late and then I went to bed, because I was a giant fat guy, my stomach would press down on it, and then it would, you know, you'd get acid reflux. It would go up into your throat. And so I would take Axid AR, and I've talked about this before. You're supposed to take Axid AR occasionally. They're like, hey, man, take it once or twice a week, maybe, if you wind up with acid reflux. And that was one pill. I took 2 pills of Axid AR a day, every day, for like 5 years. And I know my liver is just waiting to fucking come a cropper and say to me, hey, it's time to pay the check, buddy. Some shit's going to happen. Because I was so fat and I kept eating, but then I didn't want to have the fucking acid reflux, because when the acid reflux would hit, because sometimes, look, even when I had the Axid AR, dude, sometimes even that wasn't enough of a line of defense. And I would wake up, and there's nothing worse nothing worse. If you've had acid reflux, you know exactly what. And look, all right, there's something worse. You get your fucking leg caught in a bear trap or some shit. But how often does that happen? How often, let me ask you this, how often have you eaten a bowl of spaghetti late at night, gone to bed, and gotten your leg caught in a bear trap? Like, never, right? Nobody's ever fucking done that. However, if you eat a bowl of spaghetti and then you go to bed and you take your acid air and it doesn't work, and then you get a fucking throat full of stomach acid, holy shit. You just want to fucking punch Jesus right in the stomach. You're so, because you're like, how could this kind of pain exist? How could this disgusting, because here's the deal. You get a throat full of stomach acid, right? And I would wake up in bed and I'd sit up and I had to get up and I'd have to go and cough it all up. Like a lot of that, you know what I'm talking about, like hacking up a loogie, like, but it was like, ha ha, and you're spitting out orange because it's stomach acid in your fucking throat, and you're orange and red. And then, look, it doesn't taste great, all right? So that's the deal, is it's in your throat, and then you're coughing it up through your mouth. So then your taste buds are like, wow, this tastes a lot like something we should never, ever taste because it's in our body and it's used to break down fucking food. Hey, could you stop licking batteries in the middle of the fucking night? That's what my tongue said. I was like, Jesus. So that's what I did. I would have to get up, and here's the thing. I would have to cough it up, and I'd be up for 40 minutes. I'd be coughing and trying to get as much of it out as I could. And here's what I had to do. All right. I had to eat toothpaste. And I know you're like, oh, you mean you brush your teeth? No. I mean, I'd brush my teeth, certainly. But what I would do is I would take, because I have a close up, and I would have to rub it on the back of my tongue and swallow it. So then the cinnamony flavor would go into my throat and supersede the taste of death that was lurking in there from the stomach acid that had already been burning up my fucking throat lining. I mean, it was just, and then I would have to sleep sitting up like the rest of the night. I would have to go, just because, you know, why would I invite that sort of trouble again? And I know you're thinking to yourself, that happens to you one time. You know what you do? You stop eating spaghetti at night. Guess what I don't do? I don't give up spaghetti ever. Who wants to give up spaghetti? Spaghetti is glorious. So when I see spaghetti, I'm fucking choking it down. I'm at morning, noon, and night. I don't give a shit. I'm the spaghetti guy. That's me. Hi, how you doing? I'm the spaghetti guy. And by the way, spaghetti. Fuck your angel hair. Fuck your fettuccine. Nobody gives a shit about your flat noodle. No one wants. And look, I can work with a fettuccine. I can work with a cavatelli. I can work with an elbow macaroni. Why did I mention noodles? There's a lot of noodle talk on this fucking show. I can do all of those things, but spaghetti is the one. Whether if I go to a fucking Italian restaurant, if I'm at home, I like spaghetti. I like a toothsome noodle. I like that so much. I might learn to play an instrument so I can form a band and name it Toothsome Noodle. Because I want to see that in a fucking bass drum. Don't you? Don't you want to see a bass drum that just says Toothsome Noodle? You got to go top and bottom on that, right? It's not, you can't do, and it's got to be around, like Toothsome has to start like at 10 o'clock on the clock, and then the E in Toothsome has to be at 2 o'clock. So from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, like where you'd have your hands if you're driving. So 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock is Toothsome, and then Noodle would be from like 7 to 5, I would imagine. But that's what I like. I like a spaghetti, and I'm not giving up fucking spaghetti just because I might be in pain fucking in the middle of the night. Who cares? You know what? Not when I have my system of coughing up a bunch of stomach acid and then swallowing a bunch of toothpaste. That shit sounds like something the Taliban would do. Holy fuck. Remember Daniel Pearl, the guy that cut his head off? Well, before that, for 3 weeks, they kept fucking making him cough up stomach acid and then eat toothpaste. They're like, here you go, buddy. How's that grab you? And he said, do me a favor, please. I'm begging you. Cut my head off. And they put him off. They're like, dude, we can't do that. Come on. It's not happening. And finally, he convinced them. He's like, all right, I will. Whatever you got to do is fine, but please cut my head off. All I ask is I don't know when it's coming. And clearly they listened to him, because that's exactly what happened. And please don't ever find that video, because that was the video that made me realize I don't need to see death anymore. I think I told you that story. Because I've seen a bunch of horrible shit on the internet, as we all have. But that was the one video where I just went, oh, man, this seems... intrusive. This seems like I'm seeing something no one should ever see. One of those deals, you know? And look, I've seen a bunch of shit no one should ever see, but that particular one, for some reason, it just got me. You know why? Because I sought it out. That's why. I've told you this before. I looked for it. Like, I was like, oh, wait, they cut his head off. I got to check that out. And then I checked it out. And it was like, oh man, they cut his head off. Yeah, no shit, dude. No fucking kidding. They told you. Would you think they lied? Did you think I was going to check it out? And they'd be like, ha ha, birthday party for Daniel Pearl. Joking. He's a jolly good fellow. He's a jolly good fellow. No, that's not what happened at all. No, he was giving a statement, and a couple of guys came up behind him and said, ah, ha, ha, Daniel, I got news for you. Last day. Good. Here's the good news. We're letting you go. Terrible news. It's going to take a couple trips. All right. So I drink this fucking broth and fry the shit out of my throat. And I said, I was like, oh, and I got to drink, and it said, cause I Googled best beverages for, and they wanted you to drink like peppermint tea, and I hate tea, but if I had peppermint tea, I would drink it, but I didn't. And you know, I didn't want to go out of my house. Like, and also I think I told you last night, I had to park fucking 9 blocks away. So I don't want to be a fucking, you know, old sick guy hobbling down to his car to go buy tea. It just all sounded fucking terrible. So I was like, all right, but it said you could drink ice water and that would be good for your throat as well. And that, I gotta be honest, I thought that seems counterproductive. If they're like, oh man, you should totally drink hot tea, also ice water, that just sounds like a spectrum that's wrong on its face, right? Shouldn't you, it should be like, it's all broth and all tea, or it should just be milkshake. Because they were like, also smoothies. They were saying smoothies are real good. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm not making a smoothie. I have no fruit. I would have gone, because then I thought I should go to Jamba Juice. And I'm like, really, you're going to spend $14 to make your throat feel better? But then again, I got to buy Theraflu, and that's 14 bucks anyway. So why the fuck not? So I finally drank some cold water and I leaned back and like let it slide down my throat. And I'm alone too. Like when I posted the thing on fucking Facebook, I'm like, does anybody want to come over and kiss my forehead all night long? Cause that's what I associate with, you know, like a mom, like when she would like kiss your forehead and be like, oh, you totally have a temperature, like that kind of thing. Not that my mom ever did that. I don't think she might have. I just know that that's a deal. Like when parents are taking care of their kids, they're like, oh, you got a temperature. Oh my goodness. We should take care of you. My mom almost killed me once cause she ignored my appendicitis. That's totally true. But I've told you that story. But I'll tell you it again. Why not? If anybody new is here, when I was like fucking 7 or 8, what year was it? Yeah, I was 8 and I couldn't move. I was laying in bed and I'm just like, oh, and I was moaning. Cause that's another thing I'll do too when I'm sick. And hold your balls and moan. And so Lenny was like, he told my mom, he's like, hey man, Mike's sick. And she's like, tell him to stay in bed. And I did. And then a couple hours later, whatever fuck it was, he's like, hey, Mike's still sick. And she's like, all right, well, you know, tell him to stay in bed. And then finally she comes in and she sees me. And I just remember looking at her. She makes this face that I've never seen before. She's terrified. I can see it. She's just like, oh my God, what is going on? And she immediately is like, we got to go. And they wrap me in a blanket. And they care. Was my dad there? Maybe. He might have been, because he used to come by and bang my mom occasionally. And they carried me out. I was so bad. They had to meet me in the parking lot of the hospital with a wheelchair. That's how bad it was. And it turned out that I had appendicitis and my appendix almost burst. Like it was one of those deals where, and again, everybody has this story, you know, where they're like, you know, there was a shark there. And if you would have gone swimming, it would have bitten your leg clean off, like that bullshit. But truthfully, I was as close to having a burst appendix as you could possibly imagine. I guess I was yellow when they found me. I was like, oh, I don't know if I was jaundiced or whatever the fuck. But even the doctor, I just remember, you know, that thing where, because I'm just going, and they wrap me in a blanket. I lay in the back seat and they take me to the fucking hospital. I get a fucking wheelchair. And even they're like running. Oh, man. Let me tell you something. You're 8 years old and you're in the middle of triage. That'll stay with you. That'll fucking stay with you. My mom's apologizing afterwards, you know, and I had the neat scar where all the stitches and shit. But, you know, the bottom line is she got me to the hospital, right? It doesn't matter if she ignored me for 3 hours and got it to the point where I was going to die in seconds if she didn't get me to the hospital. The whole point of it is she got me to the hospital, right? That's all that matters. Because if she doesn't get me to the hospital, I'm not telling you this story. But, of course, also, on the flip side of that, if she doesn't get me to the hospital, I don't burn my throat today, and I don't have that pain still lurking inside my fucking head, right? I don't have to eat toothpaste for fucking ever. So my throat was fucked, and I finished my soup, and then I put on baseball, and I had the heat way up in my house, and I went to sleep. And I today, this is what I did all day. Like I said, I thought about driving. Then I'm like, you know what? I can take today. I don't need to go today. I mean, it's a bit of a scramble right now. It's the end of the month and all that. Things are due. But I was like, I can take one day. And so, sure enough, I just crashed. And I mean, you know, I threw on baseball games. I'd wake up periodically and change the channel to a different game. I just sat on the couch and fucking slept. And then woke up. Here we are. It's 6 a.m. right now as I record this. It was one of those deals where I was so weak. It wasn't like I could, you know, I'd wake up and just be like, and just put my head down. You know what I mean? And I'm still warm. Like I should say I took my temperature a little later. It was up around 101. But now I'm awake and it doesn't feel, I haven't taken my temperature yet. I'll take it before I go to bed, but it doesn't feel, I don't feel super hot. Like I feel a lot better than I felt earlier other than my fucking throat. But that was my own fault again, because I poured fucking hot liquid, like scalding hot chili oil down my fucking throat like an idiot. Hey, what if I drank a wok? My throat's fucked up. What if I just fucking heated up some oil and drank it? Fucking idiot. So now here you go. I'm fine, I think. When I finish this, I'm gonna take some Theraflu and crash, and then I'll go out driving tomorrow night. I think we'll see. It all depends. Because also part of me feels guilty, because it's like, if I still feel like garbage or I have a fever, I don't want to go out and make people, you know, because I feel stupid when people get in my car and they sneeze or whatever the fuck, and I'm like, oh great, thanks man, why don't you fucking stay home, patient zero. But now, you know, I'm fucking Travis Sickle as I'm driving around getting people fucking ill all over town. I don't want to do that. But that's also a convenient way to tell myself I don't have to drive. Oh, no, man. You're so sick. Stay home and get better. Doesn't matter that you won't have any food. You don't have any money. All right, whatever. So I promised this, you know, when I originally planned on doing this, because I don't know. We've talked about format and stuff. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to talk about movies I've seen, movies I love, songs I love, food, meals I've eaten. You know, I just think... And again, I think that just sounds stupid. It just, you know, even today, as when I woke up and I kind of threw water in my face, I'm like, you gotta go record. And then in my head, I was just like, you know what, man? Nobody really wants to hear you talk. Like, it was this fucking dumb thing. Your throat's fucked. People don't understand. And I'm like, really, the third day of the everyday show, you're going to fucking give people some fucking story? Bullshit. I don't give a fuck. Literally, if blood was dripping out of my mouth, I'd still be talking to you guys. And it still might, as you can probably hear. But this reminds me of when I did my one-man show. You know, and I say that like it meant anything. It did to me. But, you know, I was traveling and going up. And I had a show that I'd written. It was about 2 hours. But then I would spend an hour before the show fucking around and talking about what I did in the city that I was visiting. So, like, you would get an hour of stand-up about Atlanta, and then I would go into my show. And I would even tell people, like, look, I'm doing this because I don't know how to start a show. Because I'm a comedian. I'm not an actor. I'm not going to walk out here with a fucking skull and be like, alas, poor Yorick, here's stories of my youth. You know what I mean? It's just strange. So this, too... is a strange format for me. You know, I just talk, but I guess I can just get into the movie, right? I can tell you guys stuff, and because I don't, all right, I'll tell you what's truly nagging at me. Like when I joked on the show 2 days ago about, you know, all the, when you read a blog about cooking and they tell you about their fucking gear shift for fucking 7 paragraphs. And then they're like, by the way, here's how you make chicken piccata. And I was like, am I those assholes? And part of me thinks, yeah, I kind of am those assholes. But at the same time, I like talking. I don't mind it. And you don't have to listen if you don't want, I suppose. That's what I keep trying to tell myself. I'm like, look, if people complain, they can fucking turn it off. I mean, they go somewhere else. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, the opening music for this show I will tell you my motivation. You know, I told you Manny Moe is my motivation to start this, really. And I've thought about it forever, but then when I do Manny Moe's fucking, his cameos, you know, in my brain, I was like, I can do this. So I try to think of it, because again, when you do these things, we're always rewarded with clicks or listens or praise or, you know, oh my God, great show or whatever. And I love those things. I do. But in my brain, I'm like, you shouldn't need those things to fucking create, because that's what everybody does. They just... nose to the grindstone, man. Bang, bang, bang. You just put out content. You churn and churn and churn. And, you know, I want people to fucking jerk me off. I want people to carry me around on their shoulders and go, this guy's the funniest guy in the world. Listen to this fucking show. You know what I mean? And so it's a weird thing. It gets in my brain where I'm just like, well, unless there's some sort of payoff, what's the point in doing it? And also, there's no payoff because nobody likes this. So the opening music for this is... It's the Hold Steady. And that's a band that I enjoy. I won't lie. And honestly, they are, it was another inspiration for me, is Craig Finn, who's the singer from the Hold Steady. Because he has put out, you know, Hold Steady music, and he was in a band called like Lifter Puller, I think, or I forget what it's called. But then also he's put out solo albums, and he's not a household name. He's nobody that you guys are like, oh yeah, oh my God. He's not selling out the fucking giant arenas. But he does like the tiny desk concerts, and he'll do interviews, and he's prolific. He's a guy who just, he creates, you know why? Because he has to. And it would be cool if people knew who he was, and he made a lot of money and he could do that. But he's, you know, they do these shows in New York every year where I think they'll play like three nights, and people will come from all over the country and sometimes the world because they want to see them play and they want to watch them and they want to experience being in a room with them and hearing the things that they've done and they've created. And Craig Finn is mesmerizing, I think. And so I try to, in my brain, I was like, you know what, man, just be that. Be Craig Finn. Because again, I'm not a big fucking, I'm a nobody. We all know this. And my buddy Joe Wilson always says, we are all famous to a few people. I get that. But like, when I say I'm a nobody, I mean, I'm not selling out theaters or arenas or clubs, or I couldn't sell out my car, quite frankly. If I offered four seats in my car for somebody to listen to me bullshit, I'd probably maybe move two. That's just where I am. It's my own fault. Whatever the fuck, I didn't work. Anyway. But you shouldn't run your career by the amount of success you were having. I know that sounds antithetical. I have to pivot my brain to create in a way that satisfies me and also satisfies you guys. And you know, I like to talk. I do. And so when, you know, I thought of it in the way of Craig Finn. Craig Finn is a guy who just fucking creates. They sell some albums. They don't have a lot of streams on Spotify. They, you know, and it's funny, I've even referred the band to a couple of friends of mine, and they're like, nah, it's not for me. It's kind of a, because he's a storyteller. I admire him for that. I see a kindred spirit in him and his, you know, because he's telling stories. He's telling stories of people he's known or whatever he's done. And you know, it's what I do. You know what I mean? He's more of a troubadour, whereas I'm more of a carnival barker, probably. But in my brain, I was like, you know what? That's a guy to emulate. That's a guy. So I would want to be seen as a Craig Finn, you know, a guy who creates really meaningful stuff to some people, if that makes any sense. And look, is doing a podcast telling you about my fucked up throat and talking about Ghostbusters going to be meaningful? I don't think it is. Sometimes I can go off on a tangent where I'm telling you some real stuff, but sometimes, like I said, so I did this thing today where I was like, no, nobody wants to hear you talk about fucking Ghostbusters. And I'm like, well, no, that's the whole premise of this entire goddamn enterprise. If they don't want that, then I'm making a huge mistake by doing this, because the whole premise of this was I was going to do stuff that you guys, I was like, yeah, you know, these people want to hear this nonsense. And also I'm not saying that to you guys. You'd be like, yes, Mike, we really want it. Whatever the fuck. If you like it, great. That would be fucking awesome. But at the same time, you know, I've done enough sitting around and fucking not doing shit. So why not try to do some shit and see if people like it? Like I said before, I always thought about doing food reviews, or I always thought about doing fucking show reviews or movie reviews. And people are like, you should do them. And I'm like, it's fucking low hanging fruit. Everybody in the fucking world does that. They're like, yeah, but they're not you. Which, I never realized the power of that statement. Yeah, they're not you. Like, yeah, you can see a million people do those things a million different ways, but they're not you. And the very fact that there's anybody out there who's invested in hearing me do these things, I mean, that's a gift I can't fucking ignore, right? I don't know, man. The fuck? It always evolves into this, right? Because again, it's dark and fucking quiet in my house. I'm just sitting here and my throat's all fucked. And I'm like, hey, anyway, this is kind of half sad. Shut the fuck up. Nobody cares, man. Fucking weirdo. All right, here's what I'm going to do. Because I don't know how to get, this is the thing, is I never know how to launch into this. Guys, I saw a film recently. Hold on. Let me coat my throat with ice water. Oh, dude, I bought ice cube trays. Get this. I bought some fucking ice cube trays. I bought ice cube trays, all right, fucking months ago, maybe a year and a half ago. I bought ice cube trays from Amazon, and they showed up. They were silicone because when I went to my ma's house after she fucking passed and we had to, you know, tear apart her house for all the shit that she had ice cube trays that I was like, holy fuck, these are pretty cool. They're silicone. You know what I mean? And so, and they were big. They had like big square ice, and she had some round ones too. And I was like, this is pretty sweet. So when I got home, I was like, I should, because I've been drinking a ton of ice water. You know, I pivoted from drinking bottled water in my house. I'd bring bottled water on the road or I drink it at the gym. But at my house, I drink big fucking, you know, big gulp cups of goddamn ice water. I've been doing it for fucking years. So I was, you know, I needed to make ice. So I bought these fucking ice cube trays, and they're totally shrimpy. That when they get here, they show up, they're silicone, but they're totally small. So I would have to put in fucking 10 cubes. You know, the thing would hold 14 cubes, and I had to put 10 cubes in one glass. And granted, I bought like fucking six different trays, but I can't fit six trays in the freezer at once because I got a fucking single man fridge. You know what I mean? I don't have one of those fucking double doors with a water squirter and a fucking ice chipper and all that other bullshit. Half the time I see these fucking fridges in people's house, I'm like, did that come with a mobster frozen inside? Like, how fucking big is that fridge? I just got a normal fucking fridge. So I bought these silicone ones, and then for some reason, I don't even know how or why, but one of them got a hole in it. So then, like, it started leaking water on in the freezer. And so then I went to Target to look for some, because I didn't want to order from Amazon again. And Target had the old school plastic ones, and they were bigger, which I liked, and there was like 16. And I was like, all right, you know, I can handle these. So I bought four ice cube trays from them. And then as I was like, it was fine. They lasted for months. But then all of a sudden I cracked it once, and it fucking just cracked like in half. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? So then I'm making defective ice because there's holes in the trays and it's leaking out. So then I got to take a butter knife and I got to chip all the ice off the bottom of my fire. All of a sudden I'm like, fucking, it's 1911. You know what I mean? I got to fucking get a pickaxe and drag a fucking giant ice cube into my house. There's an ice man with a fucking covered wagon. What the fuck, man? So I got to chip all this fucking, you know, when I was a kid, you remember you used to have to defrost your freezer? You probably don't because you're younger than me. But there would be a time with my ma. She'd be like, all right, what you got to do is you got to boil water. You got to boil water in a big pot. Then you just close the fucking, you put the boiled water in the freezer and you close the door. And the steam would melt all of the ice that was all over the fucking place. Because again, we were broke. So we had some piece of shit fucking Norge, whatever the fuck it was. And so my mom was like, yeah, we can't buy a fridge. So let's, you know what? Let's do it ourselves. This will be fun, you guys. No, it won't. It won't be fun ever. Freezer burn all over fucking everything. Jesus Christ. So, and you know, with my mom's friends, who knows, there's probably a fucking hand in there somewhere. So, you know, I have, you know, I like my fridge. It's fine, but it's just not big. So, but these fucking ice cube trays break. Even the little silicone ones, they got holes in them and shit. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So I had to buy some new ice cube trays. So here's what I bought. I bought, because I still have one of my plastic ones is still intact. And then I bought four silicones. And one of them holds, the smaller cubes are 12. And then the bigger cubes are six. So I bought two trays of six and then two trays of 12 or 14, whatever it is. And let me tell you something. Those big fucking cubes are amazing. Everything is beautiful about them. But I've now made ice with them twice. And do you know how difficult it is to get the fucking ice out of the silicone? Like, it's... Because again, with the fucking plastic tray, you just crack, 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 and then you dump them. That's it. They're done. They're ready to come out. But these, you know, it's like, because they have skin. It's like trying to, it's like you're trying to remove a bone from a fucking arm. I mean, it's because it's, you know, the fucking silicone has wrapped itself around the ice, and then it's frozen. So you still got to twist it a little bit to kind of loosen them up, but then they don't dump out. You have to use your thumb to kind of press it, but then they won't just come out easily. They come out halfway and your hands get freezy cold because there's four different trays. So then I'm pulling the ice out and I got to run the hot water so I can put my hands into the hot water and then do the fucking ice. And oh, dudes, the problems never end over here. Ever, ever in the Valley Ambassador. The problems never end. I got to park eight blocks away. I can't get my ice out of the trays. I burn my throat with scalding liquid. What has happened to me as a person, as a man, as a human being, as an American? Let's talk about that. What has happened to me as an American patriot? All right. I went to the movies. And look, by the way, I'm going to spoil shit. I'm just letting you know. I'm going to spoil everything. These, whenever I talk, this show is for me talking about movies and shows and whatever the fuck. And I'm going to spoil shit, just so you know. Brace yourself. Because I'm giving opinions. So look, everybody wants my unvarnished opinions. Everybody's like, you know what? Fuck Rex Reed. What does Mike Schmidt think about this? I went to see the movie Ghostbusters. Frozen Empire, I think is the name of it. Is that the name? I don't even remember the name. Arctic Empire? I think it's Frozen Empire. Now, if some of you who've listened for as long as you have, and look, if there's anybody new here, first of all, there's nobody new here, because even if there was, you signed out with the Ice Cube Trey saga. But if you're new, you might not know that Ghostbusters was like a seminal moment for me as a kid. Like, it came out in 83. I was fucking 16. I saw it at the theaters like 10 times. Like, Bill Murray was a god. Like, everything he did was so funny. And there's, even then, I had kind of a, look, I was a dumb ass fucking kid, teenager, just like everybody else. But I also, I had a good sense of humor where I watched Monty Python with my ma. I wasn't a dummy, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I understood nuance. And in watching Letterman, I understood irony. Like, I knew these things, what the concepts were. I didn't know maybe what they were called, but I knew what was funny and what wasn't, and to them, with them, to me. So, like, there's a great scene in Ghostbusters where, like, Sigourney Weaver's walking with this fucking petty musician guy, and she looks over, and Bill Murray is just doing, like, a curly shuffle in the middle of a fucking thing for no reason. Something I love about that is, again, in those movies, when someone does something unobserved and they act silly, it will never not lay me the fuck out. It's always so funny because, again, he's just out there. He doesn't even see them. He's waiting for her, clearly, but he does this thing where he's kind of like half skipping, half shuffling. And in my brain, I'm just like, oh, my God, because, again, he's doing it to entertain himself because the world is his fucking carnival and he can do whatever the fuck he wants. I love it so much. Another example of that is in Dumb and Dumber. Oh, no, in Ace Ventura. Dudes, in Ace Ventura, and I understand it's, if you view it through today's lens, there is problematic content within Ace Ventura, and I understand. And if you choose to no longer fuck with that movie, you don't think it's good, or you're upset about it, I hear you. You know, that's fine. But there is a scene where he wants to investigate. He goes to a fancy party, Jim Carrey, and he wants to investigate the grounds of the mansion or whatever the fuck. So he pretends he has to go to the bathroom. So he goes into the bathroom and then he climbs out the window or whatever. And then he could just go to where he's going. Okay. He could literally climb out the window and make his way across the fucking courtyard and go find the thing he's looking for. But instead, he pretends like he's a spy who has to have the most difficult route available to find the thing he needs to find. So he does this dumb thing where he presses his like body to the wall and he grabs a windowsill even though he's not hanging, and he slides across it, and then he slides his arm around to the other one. I can't even describe it. But if you watch it, just consider the fact in the movie, he's doing that for him. Like, it's not like there's anybody there and he's making them laugh, or he's just like, that's the character is such a fucking idiot that he thinks it's hilarious to just fucking act like a goof. Because again, he could walk. He could literally just walk. Nobody would say anything. He'd walk over and find the whatever he's looking for. But instead, he does this Mission Impossible fucking like sliding on the wall, and he swings his arm around like he's hanging off of a mountain. It's dude. And when I saw it in the theater, I was dead. Like, I was rolling. Ace Ventura is one of those movies that I took like five different people to see. I'm like, you have to see this. Because he just goes for it. He's just unbelievably, unabashedly ridiculous in every second of that movie. And the bravery and the fearlessness to do something like that. Because again, he'll tell you that, you know, you hear the story where he's like, when he got that movie, he was like, this is it. This is my shot. And so I'm going to do all of the goofy, dumb shit I want to do. And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, you know, we'll figure it out. And it turned out to be a gigantic hit. And then he became, you know, Jim fucking Carrey. And again, I know that in recent times, Jim Carrey may have done some things that might upset some people. And I know that there's some possible incidences in his past. And I get it. All right. But that's not what I'm talking about. And I promise I won't do that with everybody. Because, again, you would have to do it with everybody. No matter what, I'd be like, oh, my God, the guy's hilarious. But, yes, I understand that at one point he wrecked the buffet at the Harrods Club. So I love Ghostbusters. You know, I love the movie. And I even, you know what, I saw Ghostbusters 2. It's not even close to Ghostbusters 1, clearly, because Ghostbusters 1 is this... It's a perfect movie. It's a comedy and science fiction. And again, one of the biggest laughs I've ever had in the history of movies is because honestly, what I thought it was going to be at the end when they try to clear their minds because the Destructor will send the whatever they think of to kill them. And they clear their minds, and then Gozer says, the choice is made, or whatever. And everybody goes, I didn't think of anything, And Ray Stance just goes, they're like, Ray, you didn't. And he's like, there's no way it could hurt us. And I have to be honest with you, in the theater at 16, or whatever I was, I thought it was going to be a big dick. I thought he had to go to the bathroom, and that was what we were going to get. I'm not kidding. It seemed to me, because they were so nervous and scared and whatever, and they all cleared their mind, and it just seemed sensible that one of them would want to go to the bathroom. And I was like, oh no. So I didn't know if it was going to be a big turd or a big dick. I truly thought that. I was like, all right. And then when he goes, he's from childhood, he would never hurt us. And they, Ray, and he just goes, it's the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And then they cut to him. I fucking explode. You know what? As bad as my throat hurts now, it probably hurt more after the first time I saw the movie because I exploded with laughter. I could not, because again, they didn't tip it. You know what I mean? Stay Puft is in the movie earlier. He's on a countertop when the eggs crack themselves, start to fry on the counter. But you don't see it coming. You absolutely do not see the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man coming. And that's such a great comedic beat. And you barely get that now. They always telegraph shit all the time, including in these new Ghostbusters movies, which I'll get to in a second. But the first one is phenomenal, and it means a lot to me, and I've seen it a billion times. And Bill Murray was one of those dudes who formed my sense of humor. He and Letterman and, you know, George Carlin and Dennis Miller and Richard Lewis and those guys, I gravitated to them. I thought they were fucking hysterical. And then when Bill Murray would be on Letterman, it was so brilliant because he was also fucking ridiculous. And Leno, God, I loved it. It was just, that's who formed me into who I am today. So I loved Ghostbusters so much. And the second one came out and I was like, all right, you know, I mean, it's fine. You know, I don't, when you look back on it now, I'm not sure if it's, you know, I haven't seen it in fucking forever. So I'm not sure how kind time has been to it. But it's got Viggo the Carpathian. That's all that matters. Carpathian? I don't have any fucking idea. But then they announced they were doing the sequel, which was a couple years ago. I forget. Is it fucking 2021, maybe? And, you know, I knew I was going to see it, and I told Pat, I go, look, we're seeing this, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, we got it. I'm not expecting anything out of it. And so we go see, it was Ghostbusters Afterlife, I think was the name of that one. Ghostbusters Afterlife, I believe. And what it was there was a whole guys, there's a whole new team of Ghostbusters. Oh, you know what? I should say this. I have never seen the Ghostbusters remake with Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy and Kate McKinnon. I've never seen it. I've talked to people who told me it was really bad. I've talked to people who told me it was really good. I did see the last 15 minutes of it at Mex's house once. And it's Chris Helmsworth. Is that his name? And he was the villain or whatever. And he's like singing. I don't even know. I should give it a watch because, again, the franchise has meant so much to me. I should check it out. But it just, for me, it honestly seemed like a cash grab. And I was just kind of like, I don't know if it's for me. But again, I've talked to people who I trust to say it's real funny. But also, it had this thing, which you might be familiar with. It had this, oh, my God, you guys have to see it. you have to see it because they don't do it, they'll never make a movie with women in it again. You know what I mean? And that makes me go, well, I don't want to fucking see this movie if that's the only reason to see it. It's like Booksmart. You know, when Booksmart came out, Olivia Wilde directed it, and everybody's like, you've got to support this movie. You've got to support it because if you don't, they'll never let like a woman make an independent film again. And it's such, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, and who knows? The studio might work that way. And yes, it's the landscape is tilted in favor or against. I understand all those things. But it also doesn't make me want to see the movie that you're telling me I have to see it just to make. It's like when I get those, like I told you, I'm on this Democratic emailing list because I sent money to someone, you know, Hillary, I think it was, or Obama. I don't know who the fuck it was, like, you know, 10 years ago or 8 years ago. So I used to get these emails where they were like, hey, man, Beto O'Rourke needs your money. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Guys in Texas, somebody in Texas take care of that. Hey, man, Stacey Abrams really needs your cash. I don't give a fuck. I'm in California, man. I'm not paying Stacey Abrams for what? We've got to save democracy. And then the funny thing is, you know, Pete Buttigieg was another one. And then he loses a bunch of times. Beto O'Rourke loses twice. Stacey Abrams, I don't even know what the fuck she's doing now. She lost a bunch of times. But they constantly said, we need money. Oh, my God, they need the money. You got to go ahead and save them. And I get news for you, man. I don't have to do a fucking thing. They're in Georgia and Texas and Indiana. And good luck to all of them. And I hope everything goes well. But the fact that politics became a national sport and I'm supposed to fucking support people in Rhode Island, fuck that. I mean, I vote here and whatever happens happens, and is it all going to fall apart? Yes, it is, probably. But you know what, at least they got a bunch of stickers. So when they say this thing about you got to see the movie because it's gonna so that's one of the reasons that turned me off from the Ghostbusters with the women leads. Now I will say this, I saw Booksmart and it was fucking awesome. If you haven't seen Booksmart, you should see it. It is really funny. It is so great. And it has what I consider to be, there's a 2 minute segment that gets as close as you can possibly get to filming Teenage Longing as I've ever seen in a movie or on screen. It's wild. I mean, I cried. I mean, when it happened, I felt it in my stomach and my heart. It was so brutal. It's such a, and it's crazy, you know, it's because it brings you right back there. You know what I mean? And it doesn't matter. You make a movie about high school now and everybody's like, oh, well, you know, it's not for me because I'm old. Bullshit. We all went to high school. We all feel that. And you all feel teenage longing and you all feel lost and you all feel, oh my God, I got a crush on this person, but now they want this person, all that stuff. And there's a scene in Booksmart that just laid me the fuck out. It's great. I love the movie. But yeah, so that was one of the reasons why I didn't see the Ghostbusters, because they were like, you got to go. If you don't go, they'll never let ladies be in a movie again. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense, but all right. And I like Kate McKinnon. I love Kristen Wiig. I think she's a fucking genius. I will be honest. I don't have a hankering for Melissa McCarthy. And from what I understand, in that movie, she's the straight person. Like, she doesn't get any funny stuff to do, which is ridiculous. I don't know why you'd cast her as the fucking straight man. And then there's Leslie Jones, who I am being told constantly is the funniest person on earth by a lot of people that I trust, and good for you guys. So that was another reason why I didn't go. Not Leslie Jones specifically, but I'm just saying whatever, who cares? So I didn't see it. So I should see it if I'm going to speak, I guess. I can still talk about the Ghostbusters. Why not? Why not? Hey, look, I saw the first one like fucking 50 times, so I could probably speak to this. And then the second one. And so then I saw Afterlife. And Pat and I went, and again, I was not expecting anything. You know what I mean? I was like, I got to see this because I have to see it because it's part of the legacy. And there were rumors that the original guys were going to show up in it, which I wanted to see. And then when we watched it, I just sat there as it unfolded and I was like, it was great. And it was just getting greater. Now I'll tell you this, there were elements of it I didn't care for. Like, I don't need the new guy podcast, whatever the fuck his name is. I didn't need that guy. I didn't need Lucky, but I understood what they were doing. They were world building because they want to. They were thinking of doing more of these. Now, in the moment, you're not thinking that. You're just thinking, God, you got to lose this annoying fucking idiot podcast, whatever the fuck. But the girl who played Harold Ramis's granddaughter, I think Phoebe is her name. I'm going to sneeze. You know, Sorry, guys. I should cut that out probably, but I'm not gonna. You know what's funny? You're gonna laugh. My throat is tickling so weird it went into my nose from talking. I've also got that. I got kidney pain today. I was gonna tell you that. Like, I was so like, I'm so fried that you know, from being sick. Also, my kidneys hurt, and I'm like, is that from drinking the fucking the medicine? I don't have any idea. I don't know. But the first one, the Ghostbusters Afterlife, like, the girl who played Phoebe, she looked like fucking Ramis. Paul Rudd is in it, and Paul Rudd is just one of those dudes. You're like, you know what, man? Yes. Everything he does is fucking gorgeous. And then Aykroyd is in it with Bill Murray and with Ernie Hudson. They show up. And then at the end, there's a huge battle, and it calls back a lot of the people from the first movie. There's Gozer and, you know, Zool and Vince Clortho. And then they wound up having that. And then there's at the end, I'll just say at the end, there's the ghost of Harold Ramis appears. And normally you'd be like, well, this is fucked. But it's a movie called Ghostbusters. So it makes sense that there would be some connection or communication across the astral plane. Now, am I bummed that Harold Ramis was dead? Yes. And they used like an imagery of him. You know, if his estate was cool with it and he got paid and everything, then that's fine. But I will tell you this, the end of the movie is I cried. I'm sitting there fucking, you know, and involuntarily kind of sobbing because they get to say goodbye to him. The original Ghostbusters are there. There's whiz bang action. There's people that, you know, there's like emotion. It was, it was fucking great. And it ended, and I look at Pat, and I'm just like, what? I'm like, they nailed that. And he's like, that was amazing. I go, it was, it really was. Cause again, I had no expectations. I was just seeing it. And I will say this to you, like, a lot of times you can see a movie and your perception of the movie can be colored by the last 20 minutes. And so I have not seen it since I saw it in the theater. I saw it twice. And I loved it both times. But I have not seen it since then. So I'd be interested to see it again and see if it holds up in the way that I think it does. And then, because the last 20 minutes is so moving and affecting for me, that I wonder if that colors my perception of the film. I don't think it does. But I would be willing to give it a chance and see. So that movie, and then it's a big hit. It makes a big money at the box office. And I should tell you, at the end, it does. At the end of that movie, then they're back. The original Ghostbusters go to New York City, and they bring them there. And Sigourney Weaver shows up, which is fucking amazing. But it turns out that Ernie Hudson is he's like rich, and he then brings the Ghostbusters to New York and he gives them back their Ghostmobile. And at the end, they show the ghost containment unit flash red, which indicates, oh, something. And so in your brain, you're like, all right, they're setting up a sequel, which again, they did that because they want to see exactly how much money it's going to make. And then if it makes any money, they'll proceed. Cause that happened with Halloween. You know, the Halloween remake, the Danny McBride remake, they said, this is it. We're closing the curtain. We're saying goodbye to Michael Myers in the way that he should be. And then the movie ends and, you know, he's caught in a fire and a house collapses, but we don't see him dead. We don't see his body. We don't see any of it. And I felt mad. It's so silly because we were just promised closure. And then, of course, it made $1 billion over the weekend. And then by Monday, they were saying, all right, we've already got a sequel in the works. And I'm like, you sons of... And then the next two are fucking terrible. Those next two Halloween movies are so fucking bad. So that experience was in my head as I realized they were doing this new... Because again, once it made all the money, the Ghostbusters, then they were like, hey man, we've got this valuable IP. And I'm like, no, you don't. You made a movie. Jesus fucking Christ. There's no valuable IP. Yes, it is. We're going to do a Ghostbusters cartoon. And then we're going to do a new young Ghostbusters. I'm going to do the Ghostbusters in school. And you're just like, dude, what the fuck are you doing, man? This is what they always do. They Marvel did this. Marvel cut their own fucking balls off. Because Marvel was just like, you know, we're going to come up with a show where Spider-Man's in high school. And I was like, if Spider-Man was in high school, the whole fucking comic book. They're like, yeah, but it'll be like a cartoon series of like his years in high school. You know, it'll be kind of, I'm like, I don't need to see fucking Archie as Spider-Man. Jesus fucking Christ. Could you stop? And I should tell you, this is me being dumb because I'm old. I'm aged out of whoever they're trying to reach. Okay. I know this. I grew up a Spider-Man, but it doesn't mean they want to sell me Spider-Man anymore. Hey, they know I bought Spider-Man. I bought 20 years of fucking Spider-Man on the screen. So they will do whatever they have to do to reboot it. They're rebooting everything. They're rebooting fucking Pirates of the Caribbean. You see that? They're rebooting Pirates of the Caribbean, and it's with... All right, brace yourselves for this. I don't know if this is official. I just know this is what I heard, and I may have been taken in by an internet hoax. But I heard that they're working on rebooting Pirates of the Caribbean. Not sequels. They're rebooting it from the jump. And Jack Sparrow is going to be a woman. And the thing that I was reading that people, again, people are upset or whatever the fuck because people are dumb, that there was a possibility she would be like from the islands. So she might be a black person or she might be Jamaican or whatever the fuck. And so everybody lost their fucking minds. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe you fucking do it. What is woke bullshit, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. And then, but then even better is the people come with the arguments. They're like, look, man, piracy kind of started in the high seas near the islands. And so, you know, the history of pirates actually comes from a history of you know, people who might have been from different lands. It wasn't always just like, and I'm like, at that point, if you're even having that fucking argument, it's like, what are you even doing? I don't just tell them, you know what, man, it's pirates. It's Pirates of the Caribbean. They can be anything you want. They can be fucking, they can be dogs. They can be Martians. They can be whatever the fuck. It doesn't, if you don't like it, leave. If you don't like it, don't go watch it. It's no big deal. But then there's people like, oh, you're going to ruin it. No, I'm not going to ruin it. Go watch the reruns. And I'll tell you what, the other day, I watched Pirates of the Caribbean, the first one. I'm not sure it holds up. It is long. And it's, I mean, he's, you know, I think Jack Sparrow is a great character and I think it's really good. But the first one, it's long, man. It was kind of a slog when I watched it here. And because I was going to watch them all in order, because this is like 4 months ago. And I watched the first one and went, no, I'm going to table that idea. I just couldn't bring myself to go ahead and watch it. I was like, that's a lot. All right. So when they said they had all this Ghostbusters IP, I was like, what the fuck, you jerks. And I don't know if they ever did anything with it. I don't know if they made a show and I missed it. You know, it's not like I'm on the Ghostbusters mailing list. I should be. But sure enough, I was out driving. This is totally true. It was like 2 months ago. I was out driving at night, and I looked up and I saw a billboard for Ghostbusters Arctic Empire. And I don't watch regular TV, okay? So I've never seen any commercials for it. I didn't know anything about it. I assumed eventually there would be a sequel, but I never really thought about it. But then I look up and I see the billboard and like, it's coming out in March. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's crazy. And I'm on the internet a lot. Okay. There was no trailer that I saw that was on Twitter. There was no trailer. There was no crazy hype where they were trying to get people. Usually there's a teaser trailer that drops, all this different stuff. Right. So I actually took a picture of the billboard. I said it to Pat. I go, did you know this? We're going, right? And he's just like, holy shit, I had no idea. He goes, yeah, we're definitely going. And I said, great. He goes, you want to go see it in IMAX or whatever? I go, I guess. Yeah, you know, that's fine. Pat and I have a tug of war about where we see movies. Like, you know, there's a really great theater by his house. It is. It's an AMC and it's got food and, you know, big screens, got a black box, all that shit. But then I have a Regal by my house and I was in, you know, I'm not now, but I was in the monthly Regal thing for $20. You see, you can watch all the movies you want, that kind of thing. And it just, after 3 months of not using it, because I was using it really consistently, but then after 3 months of not using it, I was like, well, fuck, I'm just going to put this on hold, man. And I did. But he never, you know, it's, I'll say to him, hey man, come down to Regal. We can split one ticket. It'll be great. And he's just like, well, I'll just come up here. And all right, man. And I never mind. Cause I like meeting Pat and I like that theater. But then he's like, hey, do you want to get the tickets? You want me to get them? I go, grab them. Just let me know how much they are. He goes, okay, great. He texts me and he goes, all right, man. He goes, they were $27 and we're going on this day. And he goes, just Venmo me when you can. And so I Venmoed him and I sent him $27. And in the comments, I just wrote, $30 for a movie is fucking insane. And he texted me back. He just said, agreed. And it was a matinee. Like we were going at like 4 in the afternoon or something. And he's just like, I don't, And it wasn't even an IMAX. It was in the black box, which again is really amazing because it's super dark and the sound system. I love it. Like I would go all the time to that. But I mean, $27. Again, like I said, it's $23 at Regal and I can see all the movies I want the entire month. So it seemed high. But that's okay. So I met him and we went to the movie. And I will say this. Look, we all know what concession prices are like. I know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't fucking know. But I do have to admit, it's a little crazy when you go to get a large soda and it's $8.50. I mean, that is, you can get a 12-pack of soda for $4.40 or whatever. I mean, it's a large soda for $8.50. And I know you're like, well, you don't have to drink a large soda. And yeah, I shouldn't drink any fucking soda. I get it. But sometimes when I go to a theater, here's what I like. Because here's why, especially. The Regal, I don't do it. But at the AMC, they got a suicide machine. So you can mix up all the different flavors. So I usually get like a fucking raspberry lime suicide Coke and a big popcorn. And it's salty and fucking sweet. And you just sit there and it's summer and it's fucking beautiful. I love it. Because I love the experience of seeing a theater and seeing a movie in a theater and popcorn and all that stuff, right? So I ordered the Coke and then they had, I was going to get a popcorn, right? But then they had hot dogs. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want. And I go, wait a minute. I go, you guys have hot dogs? And she goes, yeah. And she turns around and she reaches out and she just hands me a hot dog. And I grab it. And I didn't want the hot dog. Like I was trying to decide between a hot dog and a popcorn. It was more of a, oh, you guys have hot dogs. And she goes, oh yeah, here. And she just handed me one. And the hot dog again is also like $8.50. Popcorn's $10. But it doesn't matter at this point because I've touched the hot dog. Like I even if I want to go, hey man, I didn't want this hot dog. It's in my fucking hand. I can't just go, here, put this back. Because if I was the guy behind me and I ordered a hot dog and they gave me the one that the previous guy had warmed up with his fucking big mitt, I'd be like, get the fuck out of here. I don't want the fucking used hot dog. Secondhand warmth, you know, and so, but I still felt, so I had to buy the hot dog. I had to, right? You got to. You can't just go, I don't want this and give me the popcorn. But now I can't get popcorn because I'm not going to spend fucking $36 on fucking snacks or $26 or whatever the fuck it was. But I still wound up spending fucking $18 or whatever it was. So I get the dog and then I go to get my suicide soda. No raspberry. But I will tell you this, tropical. They had tropical Coke and lime Coke was there. So I mixed up the tropical and lime Coke. It was a delight. I don't know if it will replace the raspberry lime, but I will tell you that the tropical and lime was a decent backbencher, I guess I'd call it. Speaking of that, have you guys tried the Coke spiced? Coca-Cola spiced that is available right now in your local store. Drink it and thank me later because it has raspberry in it and it's so good. It's gloriously good. And I would drink it every day if I was looking to die. So Pat and I, we go into the theater and, we watch trailers and I love trailers, guys. I do. I'm a huge fan. And have you heard of this movie called Civil War? Because we were hoping to see the Beetlejuice trailer because Pat hadn't seen it. I had seen it online. I wanted to see it. But we didn't get that. But we got the Civil War trailer. Now, if you don't know what this movie is, I mean, just telling you the name, you're going to figure out what it is. It's some movie where the United States splits off and like Texas and California secede and team up and they're at war with the rest of the U.S. You know, there's a scene, you know, the White House is under siege and all this shit. But you watch the trailer and, you know, with the way things are going right now, it seems a little prescient. You know what I mean? It's not one of those things where you're like, oh, ho, ho, like Red Dawn. You're like, oh, man, the Russians are never coming here. But you know what? Maybe they will. This is a little on the nose, man, because especially if you go online, you got all these people making Civil War fucking Reddit accounts and shit. And like, I don't know. And I'm not saying you shouldn't make movies or art, but I am saying that when the trailer finished, I in my brain, I was like, huh, I don't know if that's a great idea. And then Pat leans over to me and he goes, do you think it's a good idea to make a movie like that with the way things are going? And I said, no, I do not. I was literally just thinking that. And he goes, that's crazy. And I go, yeah, I mean, you know, I'll see it. But I don't know if I'm going to be living it soon. Who knows? So, you know, Ghostbusters starts. It starts with a whiz-bang action scene where, and I will tell you this, in the beginning, they're in the Ghostmobile, the Ecto-mobile or whatever, and it's running hot, and they talk about how it's all beat up, but then the rest of the movie, they use it. They never fucking repair it. Like, they never... There's never anything where they're like, "Oh, we should fix this." It's but no, it's weird. They're just like, "Oh my gosh, this is old beater." Look at the Ghostbusters. Get your fucking trickier equipment out. I don't know. You build proton packs. Fix the fucking car. I'm just, you know, I'm not going to get into the minutia of describing everything. What I'm going to tell you is, as much as I loved Ghostbusters Afterlife, I must say that Ghostbusters Arctic Empire did not live up to it because there's just too many people in it. There's, you know, we've got, because, you know, Aykroyd is in it a ton. I will say that. That is huge that Aykroyd is in it because he's so good. But there's like things. All right. Again, I'm a child and I'm gonna tell you this right now. I like Annie Potts is in it. Okay. I like Annie Potts. And she's a key part of the first Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, what do you want? Right? Okay. Well, in this movie, when it comes time to fight the ghosts at the end, Annie Potts has a fucking uniform and she suits up to fight them. And she has a proton pack. I'm like, wait a minute. Who hired the 75-year-old secretary to be part of the goddamn Ghostbusters? Like, she's answering phones. And now this? And again... If you're looking at these movies for reality, I understand it's ridiculous. All right, I know I'm a fool, but here's the thing: I liked Paul Rudd. I liked the girl Phoebe. I like Paul Rudd's wife in here, Cassandra, I think is her name, or what the fuck, or Callie. I don't even remember what the fucking name is. But she's great. But I don't need the new, because it's the same thing where it's the problem I have with Marvel. You know, Marvel, I want to see the Hulk. I want to see Captain America. I want to see Spider-Man. I want to see all those people, right? Well, now they're like, here's Hawkeye's lady friend, Lady Hawkeye. Here's, you know what I mean? Like, because they're setting up the new Avengers. And I get it, all right? I understand business. And they're trying to get young people, all right? So... as I watched this movie, I wound up saying, you know, thinking to myself, I'm like, this is just a movie for kids. And then in the very next breath in my head, I go, yeah, it's a movie for kids. Like when you're 16, you loved this kind of thing. But, I like to think it was different, but maybe it wasn't. Maybe some 40-year-old back then watched it and went, this is fucking dumb. Maybe. But it's a movie about ghosts and monsters. Like, who the fuck am I thinking it's not a children's movie, for fuck's sake? Why am I expecting adult Ghostbusters shows? You know what I mean? Do I want ennui? Do I want someone to get murdered and them to be sad? Fuck, they're selling toys and cereal, for fuck's sake. Why am I trying to judge this as something else that it's not? Clearly that it's not. I will say this too, and Pat had this complaint, and when it finished, Pat was like, oh man, this was totally all over the place. It was bad. It was this. I go, I didn't hate it that much. You know, it was okay. And because I often take time to digest stuff like Pat's when we saw Joker, Pat was tweeting out his opinion during the credits. Credits are rolling. I like to sit with it for a day and think about it. Like, and that'll, you know what, if you listen to the show, I saw Dark Knight Rises and I think I raved about it. And then like a couple days later, I was like, you know what, man, and the more I think about that, I didn't care for that movie at all. And the same thing with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think I did a show where I was like, you know what? I just think it was too much and this and this and this. And then I went and saw it again on my birthday and I saw it again and I went, you know what? I fucking love this. You know, I can be changed. My opinion can be changed. I can sit with something and figure it out. So when this movie ended in the theater, I was like, I didn't think it was good, but Pat was like, that was wrong. Totally all over the place. Blah, blah. And I go, yeah, you're not wrong, but I don't know. And, you know, what's flawed about it? Like I said, I don't care about any of the new people. I don't care about Podcast, the annoying guy. I don't care about Lucky, the spunky girl who are going to team up with Finn Wolfhard and Phoebe as the new Ghostbusters going forward. I think, I don't know what it did at the box office, so maybe they're not. I have no idea. Cause you know how that works. It fell flat. You know what I mean? And it's because it's not what I'm looking for. I'm not saying it's bad. You guys can watch it. But again, it's the same story. I will say this. The containment unit was full in this, okay? And they're like, oh my God, the containment unit is full. What are we going to do? Well, in Ghostbusters 2, when Viggo the Carpathian, he unleashed all of the ghosts from the fucking, the containment unit. So how is it full again? I mean, I guess it got full again, but they never said it's full again. You know what I mean? And then this, the villain, I will tell you this, the villain is somebody named Garaka. All right. And he's, brace yourselves. He's like some ancient fucking Indian god who wants to take over the world. And then, you know, he uses negative emotions to freeze everybody, whatever the fuck. It's just the thing where you're like, I don't even get this. But also, that's right out of Ghostbusters too. Like, again, with the negative emotions, that was all the slime underneath. As the more people were rageful and angry, it built up this slime underneath, and it led to an explosion of fucking stuff. And again, I don't know, man. Why am I even judging? And also, I will tell you this. Bill Murray is in it. He has nothing to do. I will tell you this. He's got slightly more to do in this movie than Harold Ramis does. And Harold Ramis has been dead for fucking 7 years. So that'll tell you. Dan Aykroyd is in it, and he's actually a star of it. It's not like some cameo. And he is great. I understand young people are probably like, who's this weird uncle? But he does the shit that Aykroyd does, where he just reels off a bunch of verbiage and he talks in fucking circles about a bunch of stuff like space. And it's crazy good. There's a scene. All right. They go to a fucking library and they try to do some research and they run into the guy that he knows. They go downstairs. It's some doctor fucking, I don't know, Bruno, whatever the fuck. And Hubert, I think was his name. They go downstairs and it's Patton Oswalt. And they do this scene where, and granted, it's an exposition filled scene to explain to you what's happening. But because it's fucking Patton, you don't care, because it's awesome, because he's delivering the exposition in the most natural way possible. It's not, it doesn't feel arduous. It feels like, oh, okay, well, this is, he and Aykroyd are the same guy. I'll tell you what, after watching this movie, the one thing I did think was, if there's somebody out there who doesn't cast like Aykroyd and Patton as a father and son detective team, like an Ellery Queen, I don't know. You'll print money. You'll print goddamn money, even in a short series. Because Aykroyd is one of these dudes who he's in a movie called The Couch Trip. He was in all these shitty 80s movies, all right? But he was always good because he's himself. He's psycho. I mean, it's just a way. He's on the Joe Rogan podcast from like a year ago or whatever. I've saved it. I won't listen to it because it's fucking 4 hours long. But I want to hear it because I want to hear him talk. He's another one. He's like David Lee Roth. Like I told you, I love language, okay? And David Lee Roth, the way he uses language is fucking, I just really admire it. And I feel the same way for Aykroyd. If you watch the old Saturday Night Lives, if you watch any of those things, his verbiage, the way he can say things and it all, because he just tosses it off. And Patton has that same gift. So if you got the two of them, like I said, as a father and son, like detective team solving crimes, and that, they don't have to fight. They don't have to do any of that shit. If they were just smart, have fucking Patton be like a Hercule Poirot and fucking Aykroyd be his manservant, whatever the fuck, you should team those guys up in everything because they were so goddamn good. It's the best part of the movie for me. And there's fun callbacks to the first movie that the girl, you know, the ghost from the first one is in the library again. And Walter Peck is there. He's now the mayor of fucking New York City. I don't know how that happened, but it did. And it's just, that's what I mean. It's just, there's too many people jammed in here where you're like, because again, and I would want you to lose podcasts and I'd want you to lose Lucky. And I don't even need Finn Wolfhard, because here's another thing. When I say the movie's not funny, they don't, because they haven't written jokes. They let Paul Rudd do his Paul Rudd thing where he talks, kind of throws stuff up. And he has, all right, I'm just going to tell you, he has the second funniest thing in the movie. All right. He's talking to Callie, his wife, and he's explaining why they have to stick around and why they have to do these things. And he says, look, we have to do this. We're Ghostbusters, you know? Who are you going to call? You're going to call us. If there's something strange, she's like, stop. And he goes, in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? You're going to call us. We're the Ghostbusters. Like, he's doing the song. And then he looks at her and he goes, and you know what? I'm not afraid to say this. I'm just going to tell you it right now. Do you know why I want to do this? She goes, don't you dare. She's like, stop. And he goes, because busting makes me feel good. And she's like, out, get out. And it is because it's Paul Rudd. He's throwing it away and it's really funny. And there's not enough of that. There just isn't. Because there's this maudlin storyline where Phoebe meets a ghost who's like her friend. But you know instantly, look, you can't be friends with a ghost, period. I don't give a shit if you seem like you're, and I know they're exploiting the fact that she's a teenager and she's vulnerable, so of course she'd be friends with a ghost. But like, and you, if you're watching the movie, it's not going to surprise you when that ghost turns out to be a bad person who's looking to double cross her, because guess what? That's what fucking ghosts do. There's no like friendly ghost. It's not Casper out there who's fucking taking care of business. And also, but I will tell you this too. They use the song, like the, you know, the Something Strange in the Neighborhood, the fucking Ray Parker song. How the fuck are they still using that song? That dude lost a lawsuit. He lost, I don't even know how much money he had to pay. I don't even think he's Ray Parker Jr. anymore. I think Huey Lewis got the Jr. I think he's Ray Parker, and it's Huey Lewis Jr. He won that in the lawsuit because he cleaned him the fuck out. And yet they still use the song. And it's another one of those things where, and again, this is going to sound ridiculous, but it was one of the things where in my brain I was like, there's no consequences for anything. There's not. He stole a fucking song. He lost a major lawsuit. I'm sure he had to pay, and yet they're still using the fucking song in the movie. What the fuck? Ray Parker's walking the red carpet. I'm like, you stole the song. You're disgraced. Doesn't matter. I mentioned Bill Murray doesn't have anything to do, but I'm just going to tell you this. He has the best line in the movie. He is the funniest thing. And it's one of those things. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you what he says. And you're not going to think it's funny. And maybe even when you see the movie, you won't think it's funny. But I'm going to tell you it anyway. Because I think I just told you that when in the first Ghostbusters, the thing that was fantastic about him was in the middle of ghostly chaos, in the middle of any dumb thing that was going on, he would have a quip or he would say something. That bit where he's doing the shuffle by himself. He's this comedic entity unto himself where he just doesn't care. He's going to be a funny smartass no matter what's going on. If there's a giant marshmallow man, all right, this bitch is toast when they're going to shoot fucking Gozer. I mean, he just has, like when they capture the ghosts in the hotel and he's like, oh, we can put them right back. I mean, he's just so glib and funny. And, oh, by the way, I'm not even mentioning Kumail Nanjiani. Kumail Nanjiani is the Rick Moranis of this movie. He even gets put through the test, like with the electrodes on his head, and Murray asks him a bunch of questions and shocks him. Yeah, that happens. That's what I mean, is they just stuffed a bunch of stuff in here where you're supposed to go, oh, yeah, oh, that's cool. I should tell you, so when I say it's not funny, here's the thing I'm talking about. It's the Rudd thing where he uses the lyrics is funny, but it's all that comedy. Like, nobody, this is going to sound like a grandpa. There's not a lot of comedy being written anymore that's like comedy. It's comedy's become a different thing, and I understand it. Like, I heard Bottoms is a great movie. I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it's really funny. I can't wait to see it because it's funny. But I also avoid comedies like The Plague because they're not for me anymore. And I'm not some fucking brooding jerk. Certain stand-up and certain stuff makes me laugh, but you see stuff coming or it's just not executed the way it should be, in my opinion, a lot of the time. So, like in this movie, here's an example of what I'm talking about. Finn Wolfhard goes upstairs in the Ghostbuster firehouse, and he hears a noise, and he goes, and there's a pile of garbage, just like a huge pile of snack wrappers and garbage. And as he gets closer, he realizes there's something in there, and he looks, and it's Slimer, the ghost, whom you may remember from the first couple Ghostbusters and from the real Ghostbusters cartoon and all of that bullshit. And he, you know, he charges Bill Murray in the first one and he goes through him, and then Bill Murray's laying on his back and he goes, he slimed me. Okay. So that's Slimer, the ghost. Well, now Finn Wolfhard sees him in the attic, and Slimer gets up and Wolfhard's like, ah, and same deal. It's the same beat. It's the same exact thing. And Slimer goes through him and leaves him covered in goo. All right. And here's how Finn Wolfhard reacts to that. He just goes, yeah. That's how he reacts to it. There's no quip. There's no joke. And we're supposed to let the nostalgia of the moment carries it to where we don't need any payoff. And I need a payoff, man. I need a line. I need a bit. I need a joke. And there's a lot of situations in this movie where it's just a lot of like, okay, all right. You know what I mean? Like that, there's no jokes. It's a lot of people going, whatever, man. But it's supposed to be funny. And it doesn't lock in for me. It didn't do it. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's just how it was. Bill Murray, at the end of the movie, all right, there's Phoebe gets betrayed by a ghost who then unleashes Garaka. And then Kumail Nanjiani has to try to capture him. He's a Fire Lord. It's, believe me, it is what I'm telling you. You're just like, this sounds ridiculous. Yes, it is a lot of ridiculous nonsense. But they are then, you know, Annie Potts suits up, Ernie Hudson suits up, all the Ghostbusters suit up. So now they got like fucking, there's like nine Ghostbusters. There's like podcast and also there's like a million Stay Puft Marshmallow Men around because they're just all little. So they made them so they could sell toys. But it's podcast and Lucky and Murray and Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson and Paul Rudd and his wife and Phoebe and Finn Wolfhard. So you're looking at nine Ghostbusters. I mean, it's like fucking insane. And they're attacked by Garaka. And I will tell you this. I haven't said this yet. Garaka is a CGI creation. And he is created very poorly. The last 25 minutes of this movie, it could have been so much cooler or interesting if you had a person dressed in this costume. Like, again, think of the first movie when Gozer the Gozerian is a fucking hot chick in a sparkly outfit and she's all made up and she's got those crazy boots. That shot between her legs is fucking iconic. But in this movie, because you can, they had a computer generate all of the ghosts and a computer generates Garaka, and he's making ice. He's trying to freeze New York, I suppose, and he's making ice come out of his hands and he's shooting ice at everybody. But his face never exchanges expression. He's completely without personality. And it's so much funnier or better if there's a fucking foible, if there's a villain that you can play off of and be funny. Like if Paul Rudd gets lines like Bill Murray had, that would be great. But instead, they turn the last 20 minutes into this heroic bullshit. We got to go. We got to get the streams, you know, and we got to make Phoebe feel better about her ghost friend. It's all, you know, heartwarming. They went for heartwarming instead of funny. And that's why the first Ghostbusters is such a fucking home run, is because they went for funny the whole way fucking through it. The whole way it's hysterical. The whole movie. But in this movie, they're going for family and heartwarming. And it's just a weird choice. But in the final fight, again, there's the nine Ghostbusters and Kumail. He's there. He's 10. There's 10 guys fighting the final villain. And when I say fighting, they're just shooting him with proton packs or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean? It's not like a big, it's not a John Wick physical battle. You know, just like, oh, I got to cross the stream. Don't. What? You know, it's the same shit. But if it's funny or done artfully, or if you had a better, you know what I mean? You could have made it in a... I know it's been 3 years, but it feels like they wrote it the next day. It's just odd. But in the middle of the chaos, there's a huge fight. And all of the Ghostbusters are using their proton packs, and they're shooting, and then there's fire and all of this stuff. And in the middle of it, Aykroyd says, I can't remember exactly what it is, but he says something like, and because again, figure this, it's chaos, there's a monster, there's explosions, there's fires, there's, you know, everybody's trying to save the world. And Dan Aykroyd says, I haven't done that since I quit smoking in the 90s. And Bill Murray, in the middle of everything, everybody's got their proton packs, they're shooting, they're fighting demons, there's in this, you know, New York is being frozen by an ancient demon who's been unleashed. And Dan Aykroyd's like, I haven't done that since I quit smoking in the 90s. And there's a beat, and Bill Murray goes, proud of you then, proud of you now. And it is, without question, the best moment of the movie. It is the funniest thing. I blurt laughed because that's what Bill Murray does. In the middle of this CGI fucking stupid nonsense, cartwheels and bullshit and whiz bang and marshmallow men and a fucking CGI villain and everybody screaming and yelling and proton packs and ghosts. And just since I quit smoking in the 90s, proud of you then, proud of you now. And he does it with the Bill Murray straight face. Lily saw the movie before me, and she's like, I want to hear what you thought of it. And then all I did when I got home, I just texted her, proud of you then, proud of you now. And she just like gave it a thumbs up. But I it's not, you know, I don't, because, you know, They go to a chamber. James Acaster is in it too, and he's lisping. He has this crazy lisp, and he winds up talking to somebody. I forget who else it is. But there's a scene where two actors with lisps wind up talking, and you're like, dude, there's a lot of lisping going on here. You figure I'm in the movie if there's that much lisping. So anyway, I don't know how to wrap this shit up. I never do. But the point is, I love the first Ghostbusters more than the possibility of having my own child. It was so important to me as a kid. It's still that important to me now. It still holds up, and I'll fight you on that. Ghostbusters 2, I haven't seen in forever. I remember I tolerated it just because I had such goodwill for the first one. Ghostbusters Afterlife, absolutely you should see it if you haven't, because it's fucking great. They did a really, really killer job. And then the last, like I said, 20 minutes really is just brings it home to a point where, because Pat said to me, he goes, they should have stopped at Afterlife. And I was like, nah, come on. You know, you knew they were going to do this, but that's not an argument. Saying you knew they were going to do this is not an argument. He's right. They should have stopped at Afterlife because it put the button on it. Just like the first Halloween should have had Michael Myers die and we saw his body. It should have put a button on it. But if there's a fucking penny to be squeezed, or a nickel to be earned, or a dollar to be sold or stolen, they will do whatever they can, and they will just bleed this IP into the ground. Case in point, you know, Beetlejuice 2, which I hope is great. I'm excited. I saw the trailer, and I love Michael Keaton. And by the way, this is another thing, too. We were watching the movie, and afterwards we were like, you know, because Keaton looks amazing. I don't know if you saw that clip from the Oscars, where Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger come out and they do a sketch, and it's so bad because they're trying to improvise. They're trying to be funny and whatever. It's not working at all. It's dying a death. And then they make a Batman crack, and then they go, oh, he's right here. And they cut to Keaton in the audience. And Keaton, he sells it like he's a fucking badass. Like he's just staring right at them because he's supposed to be Batman, and just looks at them, and he's in a tux, you know? And they're like, and then they start going, yeah, but they it's so bad. They just yammer over one another, and they go, yeah, we should kick your ass, blah, 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 blah. And Keaton just puts his fingers up, and he's like, you can't see me, but he's like, come on. And it's glorious. It is such a fucking amazing clip. And Michael Keaton is a genius. I'll see Beetlejuice. I don't care. He's another one. He's like Bill Murray. I'll see anything they do. Michael Keaton, Mr. Mom. Another thing when I was a kid. Night Shift. Jesus Christ. Go watch Night Shift. I should just do a show on Michael Keaton. And I will. But boy, oh boy. But it made us think. Because Murray is... Bill Murray seems old in this movie. He's very gray. And seems a little tired. Like they didn't give him a lot to do. But even so, he's almost kind of like... And so I was like, well, I wonder how old this dude is. You know what I mean? And I said, he's got to be 70. And then Pat looked it up, and he's 74 this year. And he's like, but he looks like, so whatever. And he goes, Michael Keaton's got to be the same age. I go, Michael Keaton's not. I go, Michael Keaton's probably like 65. And he Googles it. Michael Keaton will be 73 this year, same age as Bill Murray, but looks like he could climb a mountain with no equipment. Fucking amazing. And just intense. And man, I love Michael Keaton. I love him so much. So, but also then this, I'll tell you this. When you see this movie, you see Ernie Hudson. Ernie Hudson is 79 in December. He just turned 78. And I'm like, he looks amazing. Like, you know, Murray and Keaton looks great. But boy, oh boy, when I saw fucking Ernie Hudson was 78, I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. It's crazy. It's a crazy thing. All right, so I would see Ghostbusters Afterlife if I was you. I wouldn't pay to go to the theater to see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire or whatever the fuck it's called. But because Ghostbusters meant so much to me, I was predisposed to see it. I'm seeing it no matter what. And I will say this, I don't know what it did at the box office, but I'm not sure they make another one of these. You know, because it's also that, you know, the kids are young. Are they going to get older and then do this again in another 3 years? I mean, as the actors, it can't be interesting to them, I wouldn't think. I bet Aykroyd wants to do a whole series of these, or a fucking, you know, show on Netflix, whatever the fuck. But I'm telling you, if you can take one thing away from this, it's that someone out there needs to write a detective show where fucking Aykroyd and Patton are a father and son, and they're just brilliantly Columboing all over town solving mysteries, because it would... I'm not going to say it's going to make money because I'm an old person and young people don't give a fuck, but I think it is wheelhouse for those guys and they would be fantastic. All right, man. This went, this is long. I didn't think it was going to be this long, especially after fucking yesterday. Jesus. All right. There you go. I'll be back tomorrow. talking to you guys about some stuff. Right now, what am I going to do? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to go take my scissors, and I'm going to cut the top off of a Knight Theraflu. I'm going to dump it into a teacup, and then I'm going to boil some fucking water and put 8 ounces of that hot, steamy water into that fucking Theraflu. And I'm going to tink, 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 tink. I'm going to get out the spoon back and forth and make some noises. And then I'm going to sip that over 15 minutes and go into a fucking coma. See you guys tomorrow.